Ever had anything stolen from you? Ever been the victim of a theft? I was stationed at Fort Lee, Virginia. I'd just gotten back from the bad place. And I was, later on I ended up in one of the rooms, but I'd just gotten back and they put me in a bunk and I was, I'd stuffed my wallet in my pillow. And I don't know, somehow, during the night, I'd rolled around and the wallet had worked its way to the edge of the pillow so somebody could see it. Somebody walked by and stole my wallet, and boy, did I feel bad. Wallet gone. It wasn't that, you know, it didn't change my life too much. I had to go get another driver's license and pick up another wallet. But just, you know, I just finished spending 11 months with guys that would die for each other. And here's somebody that wouldn't even leave your stuff alone. That they certainly didn't get enough out of my wallet to merit what they had gone through and what they'd done to themselves to steal that. But it really hurt. You know, it hurts. It's like being violated. Years back when we were living in Sacramento, Judy was Christmas shopping and came out of, was it Sunrise Shopping Center, and was looking around for a car and couldn't find her car. Somebody had stolen her car and all the Christmas presents in it. That was a little 280 ZX that we'd gotten in 1980 before we came out here. And so I called the CHP and we let them know about it. And I, she'd left her phone in the car. So I called the phone company to find out if any calls had been made. And yeah, there'd been a call made, a couple of calls made. And then I did some more phoning around and found that the number was to a house out in that area. And it had a bunch of young people living in it. And they'd been known for stealing cars. And so I called the CHP and told them about it. And well, you know, when you have a campfire and you pour water over the campfire, I felt kind of like that campfire. They just let me know they weren't going to do anything. And later on, they found her car abandoned somewhere. And would you believe the presents weren't even in it? We forget, or most people in the world probably don't even know, that this world has been stolen. You know, people, how can a God let bad things happen to good people? Well, this world has been stolen. This was not his plan, was it? His plan was the original first couple of chapters in Genesis and good news from then on. And yet this world has been stolen by evil, by deceit. And we are living the results of that, aren't we? We are living in a results where people are hurt. I'd like to, I put together some text from Matthew 27, 7 through 17, and Mark 11, 10 through 20. You may not be able to follow me because they kind of bounce around, but I put the whole story together. So the disciples brought the donkey and its foal and put on them their clothes, and they set Jesus on the donkey. And Jesus went into Jerusalem. And this was how the coming king would go into Jerusalem. It's interesting that Caesar would come in a chariot drawn by four white horses. And Jesus comes in on a donkey. But that's not a bad thing, is it? Jesus was humble and Caesar wasn't. Jesus could be trusted and Caesar couldn't. Jesus was about you, and Caesar was about himself. Jesus was about service, and Caesar was about being served. So I think that was a wonderful message that Jesus gave us when he came in on a donkey, don't you? We serve a God who serves us. We love a God who loves us, and we're fortunate to be here. And I think the reason you're sitting in that seat right now is because you appreciate this God who loves you with a passion and has no limits as to what he would do if it's honorable to see that you have eternal life and that you have freedom from death and freedom from the results of sin or the consequences of sin. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, the palm trees, and strew them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They were thrilled, weren't they? And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. They were all excited, but they didn't really know who Jesus was, did they? He was a prophet. They were celebrating a prophet coming to town. Now, if you look at what the Bible says about prophets, they didn't live very long, did they? They didn't do very well. Bible talks about stoning the prophets. They were glad that here was a prophet who was feeding the hungry and raising the lame and giving sight to the blind. Here was a resource center, an Israelite resource center, bringing good things to Israel. And let's celebrate that. But they didn't realize that Jesus was there because of a broken world, did they? Jesus was there because everybody in that Jerusalem needed a Savior. They didn't need a parade. They needed a Savior. He was not just there to impress the crowds or give them something to wave palm fronds about. He was there because he was going to the cross, wasn't he? He was bringing salvation. Jesus brought salvation to everyone in the world. Everybody. For God so loved, what, the good people? The rich people? For God so loved the whole world, everybody, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it's so interesting, the next part. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. We're already condemned, aren't we? We have nowhere to go except the grave. For God sent not his Son into to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Wow. This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. They didn't really know who Jesus was. The Bible says he came into his own, and his own did what? Received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. When he looked around about upon all things, now the eventide was come. So this was in the evening, and the temple was kind of emptied out for the day. And Jesus walked around through the temple with his disciples. And he went out into Bethany with the 12. Did he spend time with Lazarus and Martha and Mary? That's where he usually stayed, in Bethany, wasn't it? So he spent that night with his friends. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. He's like me. I didn't eat breakfast this morning. I don't like breakfast. To paraphrase Mark Twain, if God had meant for me to eat breakfast, he would have scheduled it later in the day. But I'm kind of hungry right now. Mrs. Crabtree made some really good bow tie pasta salad, so with chopped up. Anyway, I'm going to like that. But Jesus was hungry, kind of like I'm hungry right now. And he saw a fig tree afar off, was leafed out. And he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, because the tree was completely barren. What does that tree represent? Pardon? The nation of Israel, doesn't it? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They were supposed to be producing fruit, weren't they? They were supposed to be making the world a better place because they were in it. And what they were doing was just making a living. They were supposed to be making the world a place where people would ask questions about God. Who is it that blesses this country? what about your God? Because all the gods, all the countries back then felt their God was the best. And when something happened, they thought, oh, it must be because our God's better than the God next door. Because they had a bad time. Something bad happened to them. So their God let them down. But our God is better than their God. And that's what the countries thought. And God was going to bless Israel. And Israel wasn't blessed as a magic trick. It was blessed because it followed God. I think America has been blessed in the past because of God. Other nations have resources, and other nations are in chaos. But this nation is a nation that in the past at least had a form of godliness, didn't it? I mean, at least we treated women with respect. You didn't find a woman who'd been raped and then shoot her because she was a loose woman. We didn't do that here. You know, that wasn't acceptable behavior in America. In America, when women said, hey, I'm sick and tired of not being able to vote, I should be able to vote, after a while, men said, maybe she's right. Maybe I should let her vote. And who, how did Jesus treat women? When the woman found in adultery was brought to him, did he shoot her with an AK-47 because she was a loose woman? No. The new film on the life of Jesus, he said, picked up a rock and said, let the man here who's without sin cast the first stone. So we live in a country that has at least had the form of godliness, right? Even though we've denied the power, like the Bible says, we've denied the power. And I think we're starting to suffer now because sooner or later your country winds down when you deny the power, when you just have a form. The form works for a while, but we need God's power. We need God's presence in the hearts of our countrymen, don't we? So that what we're doing is not just outward behavior, but the results of an inward presence of God. Okay, and Jesus looked at this tree that was barren, and he said, no man shall ever eat the fruit of you hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. So it says, and Jesus went into the temple of God. So he walked in the temple, and what did he see? The temple had been turned into a mall. A flea market. That's even better. A sheep and dove flea market. Everybody was worried about making the bucks, weren't they? They were making a living. They came there to do good, but they did well. That's what they were saying about the missionaries who went to Hawaii. They came to do good, but they did well. So Jesus walked in, and you couldn't hear. It was just everybody yelling, and you could hear the money dropping, and hear the sheep bleating, and the doves cooing. And it was just a big racket. And it completely dominated and took over, and that's all you could hear. And I'm sure Jesus thought, you know, this place has been stolen. I'm sure he felt like he was violated, because this temple was created to put God in the presence and in the hearts of Israel. It was there to bridge this gap that had been created by sin and bring Israel back to God. And there it was, just a bunch of people making money. And it was the leadership of the country who were making money. And their crooked buddies who were selling, someone would bring a lamb in, and the priest would look at it, and he'd say, oh, this will never do. This was not a perfect lamb. And they would reject it, and he'd say, now, oh, you're going to have to go over there and buy a better lamb than this. And he'd recycle a lamb. And he'd sell it to somebody else that came in. And they were making money through this, and they were making money because you had to have temple coin, and you had to buy the temple coins with money, and you could do some finagling there and make a little more. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast them out that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. See, the temple was supposed to be a place of respect, not a flea market, right? Is my heart a place of respect for God and love for God, or is it a flea market? Am I just in this life for what I can get out of it? Or am I in this life because God wants to live in me and in my life? And he wants to be the best part of my life and make my life a joy. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Another place it says for all people. But you have made it a what? A den of thieves. You have made it a den of thieves. This place has been ripped off from its original purpose. And I can imagine Jesus was heartbroken when he realized that all of these people in the temple, buying and selling and trying to get rich quick, had missed the whole meaning. What is prayer? It's a relationship with God, isn't it? It's like they say, it's talking to God as to a friend. Talking to God as to a friend. Prayer is really a relationship with God. And here the temple had given up this relationship for just making money. Just getting rich quick. Make all I can today. Come in just as you are, sing just as I am, and leave just as you were. And don't make any changes in your life, and just do every day the same. And you can get richer, and you can get lonelier, and you can get emptier. Yeah. For God so loved the world that he gave, and they turned it out to be a business where you had to pay. Yeah, that's interesting. I sure have a smart wife, don't I? Okay. But you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Okay, we're getting back to the original, aren't we? Are we blind? Are we lame? Yeah. And we come to the temple because we need Jesus to give us sight and to give us the ability to get where we want to go. And that's what he's here for. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. They were grumpy. They were really, really grumpy. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his teachings. Have you ever heard, you know, I love this. I go around and I meet people and they start to talk and you think, you're a pretty smart guy. You get it. You know what's going on. You know, there are people that are going through life and they can't figure it out. They have no idea where they're from, no idea what's going on right now, and no idea what's coming up in the future. But the reality is, to understand the present, you need to understand the past. And to have hope for the future, you need to understand the past and understand what's going right now. And you don't have to worry about the future because you're in God's hands. If you understand what he's done for you in the past and you can see him working right now, you can go ahead and know that what he says is coming true in the future, and you can have hope for the future, can't you? And he said to them, hear what these say. And Jesus said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have perfected praise. Babes and sucklings. That sounds like a diaper change to me. How do you get brilliance out of the mouth of babes and sucklings? What does a parent expect out of the mouth of babes and sucklings? They love silence once in a while. No. Yeah. A parent is thrilled when their kid just says Googloo or Shrewdloo. You know, if they look up in mom's eyes and say, Mama, you're thrilled. This kid's a genius. Dada. Oh, he's even smarter. Wow. Just to look up and depend on their parents and be thrilled to see their parents and their little eyes light up. That's all you want as a parent, isn't it? You don't expect logarithms. You don't expect integrated algebra and trigonometry from them. You just want them to be thrilled to be in your presence, don't you? Is God thrilled when you are in his presence? Does he love you as a parent loves their children? That's what it's all about, isn't it? Hear what these say. And Jesus said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have perfected praise. For Christmas, Judy and I got some stuff sent to us by some folk we used to, well, a person we used to know in Sacramento. And he's married now, and his wife sends us stuff out every year. It was interesting. It's Who Really Killed Jesus? And it's so interesting because it talks about how it wasn't really the Jews. Jesus said, I lay my life down freely, didn't he? He wasn't taken kicking and screaming to the cross. He knew that was in store for him. So so they brought that out, and it was talking about the Jews that did this and that and the other, and it was just basically saying it was the leadership of the Jewish community that turned against Jesus. And it was talking about the Romans who actually drove the nails in his hands. But I read this whole thing, and there was not one mention in here that the one who really killed Jesus was me. Jesus died for me. He didn't die because he was drugged to the cross and crucified. He died for me, for my sins, because I'm broken. And he died to reclaim the world, didn't he? The world had been stolen, and we had rebelled. We human beings are broken, and we have rebelled. But Jesus bought us back, didn't he? So it wasn't the Jews. It wasn't the Romans. So I don't need to hate Italians or Romans, and I don't need to hate Jews because Jesus was put to death. What I need to do is be thankful that he died for me. Because the reality is, if he was in America and he was doing the same thing in America he did back then, he'd end up with a needle in the arm or with electric cap on. He would have gotten killed here too, wouldn't he? Jesus said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. And isn't it interesting that one of the first events that happened after sin took over was that Cain killed his brother because his brother was doing the right thing? His brother was honoring God. So I'm thankful that today we serve a Savior who is able to win back the world that was stolen from him. And I'm thankful that you are here today and that you're able to hear this message and that you're able to let this be a part of your life. And this is your history. And this is your present. And this is what's going to give you hope for the future, isn't it? I'd like to invite you to stand now, and I'd like to pray for you. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you so much for this wonderful day. We've been thrilled to see AJ become a card-carrying member of your kingdom. You have brought him this far. You've loved him and cared for him and directed his life. You've introduced him to people who could share the gospel with him. And he's here today, and he's turned himself over to you, and we're thrilled. We're thankful for Richard, who's committed his life to serving you and serving this church, being the man that you created him to be. And we pray that you'll continue to bless him as he seeks to live out the life that you've given to him in this church community, and as he seeks to make the world a better place because you're living in his heart. Thank you so much for this church that's been built in this community to be a light, to give people a place where they can head for the kingdom of heaven. Lord, I pray that you'll bless each one of us here and help us to realize in a special way today what a wonderful God you are. That this world was stolen and we are broken people and we are in need of a Savior, and we're thankful that 2,000 years ago Jesus took care of that. We can experience eternal life we can experience the eternal commitment and love that you have for us and the plan that you have for our lives. We can live the present in peace and have hope for the future because of this wonderful Savior we serve. In Christ's name we pray today. Amen. Mm-hmm.